Kuna City Council meeting, Tuesday, April 16th, 2013.
Call the council meeting to order. The invocation will be given by Karen Hernandez with the United Methodist Church tonight. Come forward and give the invocation.
Thank you, Mayor. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we've seen and heard the news from Boston. And so we pray for those who are hurting, those who are grieving, those who are frightened, having seen such violence in our own country. And with them in mind, we thank you for safety and for peace in this community. We thank you for wonderful things that are happening throughout this city of ours. We pray for a community garden, for scouts, for community choirs, for houses of worship, for responsible citizens who care about making this a place where we get along, where as vegetables grow in a community garden, we grow closer together. And in doing that, God, help us to grow closer to you. Be with us as we go about our business this night. Guide us safely home and help us to continue living surrounded by your love. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, and thank you for including Boston in our thoughts.
Certainly.
Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Roll call, please.
Council President Cardoza.
Here.
Council Member Hoyland.
Here.
Council Member Steer.
Here.
Mayor Nelson.
Here. We have a quorum, so the meeting is now in order.
Mr. Mayor, I would move that we amend the consent agenda to include item 1C6, the alcohol license renewal of Pizza Hut.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Motion carried. So the consent agenda will now have the Pizza Hut liquor license on it. So our first item of business is to consider the consent agenda. Are there any questions or additions or corrections?
Mr. Mayor, I have some questions. Page 12, Leshwab Tires.
Okay.
It looks like the tires are for a 2007 Ford F-150, and it looks like if I add that up, it was $905. Is that correct, John?
John, are you following along with the question on Leshwab Tires?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Councilmember Cardoza, your question was regarding the, yes, the invoice total was $905.68, and I'll break it down for you. There were, four P245-70R17 open country, altering to all position tires at $207.42 a piece. So there's four of those. That amounts to $829.68. Then you also have tubeless valve stems for the same four at $18. And then wheel spin balance for all four for a total of $58. So that adds to $905.68 with the addition of $58 in labor.
Okay. One more question. Page 8. Home Depot Credit Services. Looks like the city is paying for the aluminum blinds for the concession stand. I thought the city was not going to, other than labor, was not to spend any money on a project over there.
Yeah, there was some money for that small concession stand. To my knowledge, there hasn't been anything donated due to the historical, the donation history, I guess, of that project. But there is a small amount of monies that have been spent on that project, labor primarily, and then some materials, and this is one small aspect of that.
Was any money to be spent on that concession stand okayed by the city council? I thought it was just to be labor only, that the rest would be donated by the Baseball Association.
I know that there wasn't anything specific during the budgeting process. I know that part of those monies came from other funds within the Parks Department to cover those costs. But to my knowledge, I wasn't aware of any committed funds by the baseball organization.
Yeah, I wasn't either, Rich. And, you know, on small expenditures, what's that one, $64? We went ahead and approved it, and you know, we can reimburse the park fund from the contingency or something if council so desires. There's really no approvals of anything but just small stuff to finish that building up.
Mr. Mayor, I thought there was a point about, what, 2.5 months ago, where Bobby came here to the meeting and presented with a budget, some things for that. Do you remember the same way I do?
I really don't remember the budget, but I do remember him approaching the council to finish the whatever you want to call that, sales booth or stand at the request of the Little League. But he could have presented a budget then. I just don't remember it.
Yeah, I don't recall any numbers. I do recall there was some discussion about finishing the project and that it would be primarily labor, but there are a few minor expenditures such as this one for the...
Yeah, I think there's some concrete on that.
Yeah.
It just minor things, but we have a brand new, pretty good looking building.
Okay. My last question is on page 6. For disaster cleanup, does that history center belong to the city, the building?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, that has been reimbursed by the insurance, by Crimp, so that's a net zero cost in the end.
And okay. I believe the date for reopening that is the 22nd.
Okay.
Was that the result of the car crashing into it last year, or is that something?
No, it's a result of frozen pipes. Oh, okay. that burst and did some damage.
I was thinking of the Grange Hall, not the History Center.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the History Center is basically, you can look at the mayor and say, did you remember to tell him to winterize that building? Yes.
I have one more question, Mayor, if I could.
Sure.
On the liquor licenses, I noticed the bars serve beer and wine, but I noticed just wine or just beer is marked. Is beer and wine combined on the 200? If you look at every one of the bars, it looks like the beer has been charged, but no charge for wine on premises.
The wine is included with the liquor by drink. By the drink, the wine is included with
the
that.
The wine is in the liquor, or in the
is
beer
included
license, as a...
The liquor by drink?
Yes.
The wine is included with that.
Okay. Then I might suggest that we take on the application that we take on-premises wine and remove it, if it's, or make it to where it's not misleading on the application that it is one combined billing?
Okay, it states that there in the parentheses. Can you see that there?
Where?
It's stated there in the parentheses on the application at the top, right under liquor by the drink.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Further questions?
And Mayor, one small change for you, just a clarification on the accounts payable, page 10 of 21. Apologies.
Okay.
Find it. There is a vendor on there. It's named JLJ Enterprises Incorporated. That vendor name has been changed. It's had an appendage to it. It's JLJ Enterprises Incorporated or City of CUNA. And this is related to the prior council meeting when we set up the agency fund. And so this allows the city to cut the check to the vendor, however, turn around and deposit it into the bank account that accounts for the agency fund for the benefit of the actual owner of the money. So basically all it is just a change in the name to say GLJ Enterprises Incorporated or City of CUNA.
Okay. If there are no more questions, I'm here for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Mayor, excuse me. Mr. Law would like to withdraw from the consent agenda this resolution. It's the one dealing with the construction of Pleasant Subdivision.
D3.
Put that on for discussion. The reason being the packet doesn't have the numbers in it. He opened the bids this afternoon, late this afternoon, and now has those numbers as the proposed resolution.
Okay, then the motion should include everything in the consent agenda with the exception of that one.
Mr. Mayor, I would move we approve the consent agenda with the removal of item D3, the Butler Pressurized Irrigation Project.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. And then you said D3 will be brought back next council meeting?
Under new business so that there's opportunity to
okay. Discuss. All right. Okay. Next item of business is a proclamation. The mayor will read. On the Grange, this is April 2013 is Grange Month. Whereas the National Grange of the Order of Patrons of Husbandry is celebrating 145 years of service to America, and whereas the service through educational efforts of the Grange and its members have added innumerable people, both in and out of the order, to reach their full potential as leaders and people. And whereas Grange members have performed uncountable hours of service projects to improve their communities and to better the lives of their fellow citizens. And whereas the service of nonpartisan legislative advocacy of the Grange through the unified efforts of its members have immeasurably benefited local communities and our nation as a whole. And whereas the fellowship and family atmosphere of the Grange have served millions of Americans by strengthening the social connections through a multitude of activities, And whereas Grangers are supportive of agriculture, rural America, and American values, as these form the bedrock of American society. And whereas the Grange continues to serve every American through our hometown roots, therefore be it resolved that I, Greg Nelson, proclaim April as Grange Month for the year 2013 in CUNY. As we celebrate our history, we are positive and enthused about our future in this community and in the nation. So this is proclaimed on this day, and I will sign the proclamation and give it to Don and Mary. We want to thank you very much, because everything that I read is certainly the truth of the Grange. They've been very active, very helpful, very community-minded and oriented through the many years they've been here in CUNY. How many years have we been in CUNY?
103 or 104. 105.
Yeah. Well, you know, the you've been in existence 145 years. We'll be hitting our 150th next year, so we got created about the same time. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, and then the next item of business is the Eagle Scout Project, presented by Daniel Durant. And maybe you would introduce the other gentlemen that are participating with you in this project.
Okay, so my name is Daniel Durant, and this is Kevin Erickson, Jared Peterson, and Kenji Law. And we're all scouts here in CUNY. And so we together are working on an Eagle project, and the way that we have it set up is that I will be leading the project, and Kevin, Jared, and Kenji will both take separate parts of the project to work on as their Eagle projects as well. So for our project, we want to build a veterans memorial for the veterans of CUNY. And the way we want to do it, we want to have it as an amphitheater with flags and lights for those flags, with a presenting area in between the seating and the flags. And we just want to do this because we want a place that the veterans know that that they and their families can go at any time that they would like, and just to have a place that honors them, and to have a place where awards or presentations could be given or done. And so where we want to do it is on the down south from the ball fields by the green belt. And so this is a more zoomed in picture of it, and there's a pretty big open spot, and you can't see it in the picture, but it's pretty flat, and then it rises up for, has a hill going up to the ball fields. And so our plan for this project is that during April we want to get all our approvals done and working on our design, and once those are done, then we want to begin doing our estimates of cost and our fundraising to get money for the project. And during May we want to continue fundraising and contact businesses and contractors that might be able to help us with the project. And we want to begin work in June and go into July and possibly August if it takes that long for the build as well. And so here we have a sketch that we drew up ourselves of what we were kind of envisioning. So at the on the bottom of the picture, you can see that's where we want to have about three rows of seating with steps in the middle for just going up in between the rows. And just off what we were thinking of having it about 30 by 25 or so feet for a presenting area. And then we wanted to have the flags at the back so that they would be on the side of the green belt. And so the seating would be facing towards Indian Creek. And we wanted to have the flags on the back wall just to show that it's the back of the memorial. And on that wall, we wanted to have an inscription saying Land of the Free because of the brave, just to honor those veterans. And so here we have just some more drawings of what we were kind of thinking for step dimensions and things like that. And then we have a drawing of what flags we would like, having the American flag in the middle, and then each of the five sections of the military, and a POW MIA flag as well. And Levitt Engineering, we have contacted them, and they have already offered services for the engineering aspects, and they are donating those. And Drew Morgan is here today, and he's going to be the head engineer for this project, if all goes well. And some potential people that we were thinking that we could be able to contact for money contributions or material contributions. We have a few on here that we could contact, such as Bigney Builders and Simplot, and some larger companies that are that tend to donate and that are from around here. And we were also wondering for this presentation how much, if the city would like to donate at all, and what they are willing to do if this project is approved.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sure the council has some questions. Mm-hmm. You know, as I can answer the part of donation by the city. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be having some labor contributions, and we really don't have in this year's budget anything set aside for it. This project will be dedicated in CUNA days next year.
Yeah.
So you don't have to condense your time frame too much, and in the next year budget we'll try to include mm-hmm. monies to help you. We're still strapped in this community financially, but we're not as strapped as we were.
Yeah.
Okay. So, questions by the council?
Oh, yeah, I've got a couple. Is the seating mainly concrete work? Or is it
Yeah, we wanted to have it all be concrete.
Concrete steps, kind of like?
Mm-hmm. Yes, just to, so then lawnmowers wouldn't have to go through or anything like that.
And the mayor alluded to, there wouldn't necessarily be a crunch time to get this done, but I assume you have a crunch time to get your Eagle project done?
Yeah. Some of us do.
So. Okay. That's the way it usually works.
Yeah. Okay.
And are you going to cut the seating into the bank?
That was our plan to do
construction costs down mm-hmm. by doing it that.
Yes.
And I've sat in a good many of those that are cut into banks, and they're nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus the hill around will still let people come in with blankets and what have you for presentations or plays mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can stop by CUNA Machine Shop. I know a guy down there that might be willing to help a little bit.
Okay.
I hear he's pretty good at his help, too. Okay, other questions? Richard?
I don't have any.
Okay.
Mayor Nelson?
Yes.
Once you have your project designed, you may, I would suggest that you bring it to planning and zoning to make sure that there are not any building issues that would come up,
mm-hmm.
that may come up.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one thing about anything that attracts the public. It's got to meet all the standards, and the planning and zoning is the group that will work with you and make sure that everything is covered, probably with the Levitt engineers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah.
The other thing was, and you may be aware of where Bobby was planning on putting the Frisbee Golf.
A what?
The Frisbee Golf that he's planning, that he was working with Chris on with the grant. It was going to be along the green belt. I just want to make sure that they don't collide.
I think that, that's a good point. But I think that there's only a couple areas that might lend themselves to the amphitheater because of the way the bank comes down and you know, cutting in for them. I was aware of the other, and I think we got lots of room.
Okay, perfect.
And if it's not on that part, the extension that we're going to put in pretty good-sized parks there, too. So I kind of changed my mind to make the whole thing like you'd see in 1864, but at the crossing of Silver Trail, if you look back down Indian Creek, you can only see, you know, about one-third of the way. The other two-thirds are going to become, it's a beautiful park site and what have you, so we will be changing all of that to be mowed and planted, and in the part that you can see down Indian Creek from the Silver Trail crossing will all be naturalized like you might have seen in 1864. And I really think that there's plenty of room there to put that golf thing in that Bobby's talking about. So you can see we've got a whole bunch of balls in the air, and we need to get together and all kind of discuss and then pick the sites and make sure that we cover the public safety things.
Yeah, okay.
But are all of you aware that's an awfully ambitious project?
Yeah.
And there are some of us that aren't really talented enough to help too much because we're getting your way. But anyway, we're awfully pleased that you guys are going to try that. And we know you'll get it handled. I'll just be down to look at it. I won't be trying to supervise. So anyway, we appreciate the effort, and we'll dedicate that the next year, but we realize there's a time frame for Eagle Scout projects.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. That is an amazing project for four young scouts to do. It's a wonderful idea.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Is that something you guys are planning on doing this year and having it built by August? Everybody's planning on having that done by this August?
Well, the amphitheater, they're planning on it. The rest of all the improvements and the change of the entrance and all that will be done by the next year.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to specify, because I know that the Lions Club were planning the car show down here this year, CUNA Days, and you're going to finish it CUNA Days on that third. So
yeah,
it looks like, I don't know, there may be some conflict, and I understand. I just want to make sure I give them the correct information that they may have some questions. So.
Yeah, I think the amphitheater won't be in conflict with if the Lions Club is using the spaces they used last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the amphitheater is a little bit west of that.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
So, yeah. And I think isn't this the 50th year of the CUNA Days?
Yes. Correct.
Huh. I was here for the first one. How can I remember that?
Strange.
Anyway, so there'll be a little bit more of a celebration than this year, too, as well as next year.
Yeah.
Neat. Okay. All right. Moving on, then. We have Bob McQuaid here, who would like to make a little presentation on the assessments. So we appreciate very much you coming out to do this each year with us.
Well, I hope it helps. It's the reason we started doing this was after I took office, we would be getting calls from the taxing authorities for information. And even prior to my going to office, we would get the calls from the taxing authorities. My predecessor wouldn't give the information out. We decided to go ahead and just make the information available so you can use it for making preliminary budgets, but also just to give you an idea of what's going on with property taxes. If CUNA is like Ada County, it's a significant portion of our budget. Before I get into the good stuff, I just want to make one thing clear, and that is we've been accused by some other elected officials, not those over here in CUNA, of course, because you have a much better understanding, but that we caused values to go up and we caused values to go down because of our assessments. Our assessments were going down as the market was going down, and I actually had someone come in and say, you've got to start raising values because you're causing the market to collapse. And actually, that's really not the case at all. We've got the data, and it's an interesting graph. There is there's 1 year lag between the MLS, Multiple Listing Service data, and our data. We're just behind them. If you move our data back a year, there's just a perfect parallel between the two lines in values. So that really is indicative that we're tracking the market. We're not driving the market at all. This year, what's new? The homeowner's exemption is 81,000. It's down from 84,000. The highest the homeowner's exemption was in 2009, $104,000. That's off considerably. The State Tax Commission makes that calculation. It's based upon the Idaho Housing Index, and it's based upon the change in housing prices in the state of Idaho. We have some new deadlines for exemptions. I'll talk about that in a minute. And we have some personal property exemption. I'm sure you've all heard about that. You might have some ideas or questions how that's going to affect your budget, and I will try to make that clear. These are preliminary values. They're going to change. We're right in the middle of our assessment process. But again, this should be enough to give you a feel of what's going on. The total market value in CUNA, that's if everything were to sell what we would expect it to sell for. This is all residential and commercial property. That's not the taxable value, it's the market value. That's $667 million. That's up 16% compared to last year. And I think as I go through this, you'll really see that things are much better than they were the last few years. Well, we'll take that $667 million. We need to take out any exemptions that are pending. Something is new this year by the way of exemptions. The law was passed by last year's legislature, effective July 1st, but that was after assessment notices and everything went out and Board of Equalization was heard. The law went into effect. Well, it really played into someone's to someone's advantage last year. We had a large taxpayer, an exempt taxpayer. They had well over $100 million of exemption. In fact, it was getting close to $500 million in exemptions. They failed to file their exemption in a timely manner. In fact, someone put it on someone's desk and said, would you see that this gets to the commissioners? Well, the 16th came around and said, did you get that in? And they had not. The law this year, the exemption has to be applied for by April 15th. Last year, there was no given deadline, so it was assumed that they could apply for it up until the 1st of July, and they did. It was literally the end of June when they applied for that exemption. It's tough because all of a sudden the market value dropped almost $500 million for one of the taxing authorities. It made it really difficult for them planning their budget. But again, this year, all exemptions have to be applied for by April 15th, and they will show up on our assessment notices. But exemptions over here in CUNA, about $11 million are not accounted for yet. So from that value I just gave you, the $667 million, you'd want to take out the $11 million. But you want to add in operating property. That's what the State Tax Commission, they assess the operating property. That's all the property that's owned by the utilities. The Tax Commission assesses that, and that number is not going to be known in August, but that was about $13 million. So the net effect is your market value in CUNA is $463 million. That's a 22% increase over last year. That's the taxable value, not the market, the tax value. That's what you'll be able to levy against. Residential is, you've got $602 million of residential property. That value has gone up 16%. Last year at this time, I was telling you had a 2% decrease in single-family residential. So your single-family residential has gone up. We're looking at a 13% median increase in existing residential. Last year here in CUNA, it was almost a 5% decrease. So you're seeing your residential market really starting to pick up. As I was putting this together, it surprised me because I felt that CUNA and Starr were not as robust as the other parts of the county. The county single-family residential is up about 11.5%. So Median single-family residential price here is $107,000. That's back to the 2005 levels. What's causing this? We're seeing distress sales. Those are down. Inventories are low. Low interest rates. This is an important number. Low interest rates. They're record levels, less than 4%. That's a contributing factor. And then land is the driver of the increasing rates. I want to point that out. Land and low interest rates. That's what drove us. That's where we were seeing 25% increases in 2004 and 2005. Those two conditions were present. The low interest rates, not nearly what they are today, but artificially low interest rates and low land inventories, which were causing land prices to just explode. Are we headed for, you know, is another bubble? Are we watching another bubble in the making? I don't know. Time will tell. But those are two things we're going to really keep our eyes on. Your commercial real property is $61.3 million. That's an increase of 22%. I want to spend just a couple of minutes talking about personal property. That's a big one this year. We all remember the legislature at the last minute exempted the first $100,000 of personal property. So what the law says is that parcels under 100,000 are now exempt as of this year. Additionally, property under $3,000 will not even be reported in the future. So if you have $100,000 in personal property and you make a $300,000 purchase, you do not have to report that. So the next year, you probably will come off the rolls because your property will depreciate, bringing you below the $100,000. So what is all of this going to do to CUNA and your property tax dollars this year? Probably not a lot, because the state is going to reimburse the taxing authorities for the lost personal property revenue. But that's only this year. As we start moving away from 2013, we will see the personal property begin to diminish, even the amount that's reimbursed, because property will be depreciated. Fewer parcels, anything under $3,000 won't be reported anymore, so we'll just see the personal property value just slowly erode, and then there really will start to be a shift over to real property owners, which are residential property owners and business property owners.
You're just taking all the luster off of
them. Well, I know. Hey, you got a 22% increase in value, so there you go. Something I think is important, and your clerk will probably get this when you go to the budget and levy workshop, and that is you're really going to be faced with a conundrum when you're putting your budget together this year when you decide, what are we going to do with our levy? Do we want it to be higher than last year, lower than last year, or the same as last year? Because if you have a lower levy this year, you will get a lower reimbursement for your personal property dollars. If you have a higher levy, you will have a higher replacement on your personal properties. That's going to be an important consideration. I don't envy you at all. But that's something you're going to be faced with. I'm just going to wrap this up quickly. New construction, that's what increases or decreases your budgeting capacity, is $6.9 million. That's up 38% over last year's new construction rule. Now, we have some other exemptions that went into effect and even more refined this year, the home site exemption. So you're losing some of the new construction value because more exemptions are kicking in. Lastly, I just want to tell you the tax burden. That's who's paying the property tax, residential or commercial. In CUNA, it's 81% or 82% is picked up by residential, 19 or 18% by commercial. That's certainly going to change as the personal property exemption really starts to take hold in the coming years. Just by the way of comparison, the county tax burden, 61% residential and 39% to commercial property. So a lot of good news there. Your budget capacity can increase because your new construction is up, your assessed values are really going up, your market value is going up. So it's things are back to where they were probably in 2000. I don't want to say 2005, so we want you an explosive market. But things are looking good.
Great.
So, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, that's what I've got to tell you this evening, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, questions of the council?
Yeah. As I recall, for Cunon, the personal property tax, even if it was a total repeal, it was only around 3%, and state replacement doesn't replace anything. I mean, they replace after the first 3%, right? So I don't think replacement money is.
It was, well, it was my understanding it was going, well, I really don't know what that actual amount was going to be. As right now, my basic understanding is almost all going to be replaced. Something that's really important, and that is that with the personal property, I don't have that number with me, but it's something to this effect. 90% of the businesses will not be paying personal property anymore.
Right, yeah.
That 20% that's left, they're going to pay about 80% because we're only going to watch the personal property values drop off. Again, it might be different here in CUNA, but throughout the county, we're only going to lose about 20% of the value, but 90% of the businesses will be coming off.
Right.
I don't know if that helps or not.
Now, I really think the city and the fire district we'll be able to cover that pretty well. The schools, I'm not sure about. I think the schools take in quite a bit more.
Yeah.
So once again, the schools are probably going to be hurting.
Yeah, it's it just kind of depends on where you are and who you are. Of course, in the discussion over American Falls, where there's a lot of personal property, they were just going to be destroyed by it. But again, the state is going to replace most of that.
Right. Yeah. For that first year.
Yeah.
Yes, there's no guarantee. But if you just look at what they said, it will be that set amount into the future. But the legislature at any time can come back and say, we don't have the money, we're not going to do that.
Right.
So, you know, that's, I don't know if that's what you were saying, but
sure.
There is no guarantee beyond this year. Yeah.
Good, thank you.
Okay. Further questions?
Thank you, Bob. Okay.
Did you say you had one?
No. Oh. Thank you.
Okay, Bob, thank you very much for coming over.
All right.
We appreciate it, and I'm sure some of the audience would like to talk to you about their personal situation before you leave, too.
Is that door unlocked right there?
And I'd just like to comment that I do appreciate that you come out here every year for this. It's very helpful for us.
Well, I enjoy coming out. It's nice seeing everybody, seeing what's going on out here in your community and answering questions and telling you what's going on. I see what's happening. It might not be right, but that's what I see through my eyes.
Yeah, you might want to come out in September and enjoy our new amphitheater. You want to put on some kind of...
I'm going to, and I just saw that as such a neat project. I just love today's young people. They just have such neat ideas, and they've got the energy and the excitement to make things happen. And so the world is going to be in very, very good hands when we step aside and turn it over to these gents here.
Yeah, okay.
Thank All right, Mr. Mayor, I'll let you continue with your business.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, that's all we have on the...
We need to amend the agenda on new business to add Gordon's.
All right. We need a motion then to amend the...
Mr. Mayor, I would move that we amend the agenda for under new business the Butler subdivision project.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Move the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Motion carried. Okay, we would then move the new business 1D3?
Yeah.
Okay, and who's going to present that, Gordon?
Mr. Mayor, I truly don't have anything other than the information that was handed out, no exceptions on the bid, no incorrect filling out. The numbers look good, and the engineer's recommendation is to approve the resolution and award the bid to the apparent low bidder, which was Knife River. So beyond that, I don't have anything to add.
Okay, are there questions on to Gordon of the of this agreement?
Mayor,
yes.
If I could have the floor. I think we're putting the cart in front of the horse. We're supposed to be having a meeting with the residents of Butler Sub to see how many would be interested in the pressurized irrigation. We're allocating about $250,000 for that project, yet we don't know how many of the households will hook onto that. I think the payback was 90 years, I think, Gordon, you projected out.
Well, actually, the payback is 1 year, depending on how you calculate it. If you only rely on the saved amount of money on the subsidized water rate, then it was that long period of time that you referenced.
Right.
But if you look at the now available drinking water connections that would be available, then the payback is 1 year.
Right. But you're assuming that 90 households are going
That's correct.
Hook up. Again, I feel like we're putting the horse before the cart by putting out a project for $32,433 before we know how many people will be willing to hook up to the pressurized irrigation. I would suggest that we withhold the street crossing until we have more information from the subdivision as to the potential of how many people will sign up for the pressurized irrigation.
Well, let me put in before I call on you, Gordon. You know, there are some of these people that have been paying for the pressurized irrigation hookup for over a year that can't hook up because we don't have the pressurized irrigation there. Secondly, as soon as we offer pressurized irrigation to anybody in the Butler subdivision, the entire subdivision loses its subsidized water. And the that's a sizable subsidy. And the not only is it not fair to the rest of the community, but we do have a number that are already waiting to hook up. And it just seems like if we don't make that move, then everybody who has paid, we really should, I don't know what we'll do with them, refund their dollars or what have you, but crossing the street, the main street, is a costly situation, and that's what holds us up on just about all of these pressurized irrigation, not the work in the backyard and what have you, but because our staff does that, but getting under, going under the main streets. It's difficult to get by the highway district without big, big sums. So, you know, I can understand your point of view too. And Gordon, I think you're the one that's catching all the flack from the people that are paying and saying, what am I paying for? I'm not getting anything. You know, so, did you want to comment on that?
Let me just throw out a couple of things. It's probably a reasonable debate to have was whether you need to start into the subdivision in order to build the excitement for others to connect or not. I'll leave that to others to decide. But we've invited Jeff Lang to work with the subdivision that he's a part of to recruit and to encourage participation. I met with Jeff today, and we scheduled the meeting that you referenced, Councilman Cardoza, for April 30th, I think it is. The evening of April 30th, we're planning on holding that meeting at Ross Elementary,
yeah.
Because that's close to the subdivision, of course. the mayor has already referenced those who are pressing us, who signed up for pressure irrigation, that we're trying to make the crossings for, to get them connected. And we hope to use that as the impetus to encourage others in the subdivision to willingly participate. And the other thing that we need very critically is a willing group of people to let us put the pipelines in the backyards and not face some opposition in that regard. So those are our thoughts on it, so I'll leave it to council to make the decision on what we do here.
Okay, thank you. Now the, you know, Butler is a big error that just compounds itself in that we, the city, let them sell their irrigation water off of that subdivision. And I guess we're under really no obligation to go back and try to correct that, but pressurized irrigation would equalize that whole thing. And that rate that they're paying is pretty attractive. I'd like to have a rate, yeah. So I can see where you think it'd be jumping the gun, but we really can't offer anything until we get the pressurized irrigation there. And right now we can't get it into the subdivision without crossing Boise Avenue. So,
Mr. Mayor, I guess I'm kind of the opinion that in order for us to move ahead, we kind of need to complete some of the infrastructure for the pressurized irrigation. And I, as I understood it, this was kind of one of the main projects to kind of help get this ball rolling and getting this done. And I agree with Rich wholeheartedly that it's not going to be a good thing if nobody wants to hook up over there, but apparently there is some that already do. So I guess I would be in favor of moving ahead and helping to complete some of this infrastructure.
Okay. Doug, do you have
any? I feel the same way Joe does. I think we should move ahead. Is there, unless there's, if we pass this resolution tonight, do we, we hold off the construction until the meeting on the 30th, or when do you want to have the start date on this?
It's probably going to take 10 days to start, to get all the documents in place, the bonds and the insurance and so forth. But the pressures that we get from those who are already signed up are based on the idea they want that water right now, and they're already paying money across the table for it.
How many properties is that?
Six. Six of the 90.
Are they on the same street or dispersed throughout?
Well, the price the price that you're looking at here is for crossings in two points. One is, of them is across Boise Street, which will take care of four of them, and another one is across School Street, which will take care of another one. And then the hope is that on the meeting on the 30th, we get the activity going and get that sixth person where we can get the water to them too.
So. And this is 6-inch pipe, right?
That's correct.
Once you go across the backyard, what size pipe is that?
We're gonna make that 6-inch as well.
Is that gonna mess up the backyard pretty bad?
Well, we haven't figured out a way to get it in there without digging a trench, but so yes, and so that there's a restoration aspect to the cost, which was to restore the grass.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be put back approximately the way it looked before. And I've got some residents in town say, oh yeah. But anyway. That's what it's supposed to be.
The technical term is equal or better.
Yeah. Okay, Richard, are we going to convince you that it's a good deal?
I still think we're putting the cart before the horse. You're asking to put the across the street when we have approximately 15 days until April 30th, when we would have a feeling of the people in that subdivision, how many were, are going to hook up. I guess I question if there's a resolution that says if pressurized irrigation is available to that subdivision, everybody has to go on to it. Are we forcing that subdivision to sign up to pressurized irrigation?
No, that.
If we're going to take the subsidized water rate away from them, we're taking it upon the city then to force pressurized irrigation every household in that subdivision.
Well, we gave them the subsidized rate because they had no other options.
Right.
We're giving them another option now.
Well, you're giving them the option of, we're going to put in the water, you have no choice, you hook up now. What is the cost to hook up?
Going back to the first part of your question, I don't think there was anything that we've said to suggest that somebody had to hook up. They could still continue to use their drinking water. The question of whether they would have the subsidized rate, I think, is what the mayor is making reference to.
Right. Is there an ordinance that says that they would lose their pressure subsidized water?
I'll let Richard deal with that one. But so the idea would be what the mayor's talking about. If there's an option to go on to pressurized irrigation, what the mayor is suggesting, that there may not be any validity to for the rest of the city to be subsidizing those users anymore as they have in the past. I think that's the idea. I hope that's expressing it correctly. And beyond that, Richard, I think, was working on some legislation dealing with this. So I'll let Richard pick up from here.
That's correct. I'm looking at the ordinance, changing it and disallowing that favored rate if they have the potential for pressurized irrigation. They opt not to. Gordon mentioned it a little bit, and I don't know if it's been about a week or two that I've looked at it, but as I recall, the subsidized rate is 33 cents, and our true cost is $1.54. So we're subsidizing everybody $1.20 that's doing this, which means that ratepayers for the rest of the city are paying for this. So it would only be fair that they either hook up or pay a rate that is actually what the city's incurring in that cost, all things being equal. But I intend to bring that before council for discussion at our next council meeting, so we can work on it and decide how we want to go.
Okay. So at this time, there is no resolution on city books forcing those people to hook on to pressurized irrigation and losing their subsidized rate.
Isn't it the way it's written is that if you don't have access to PI, so I suppose it's debatable whether they would lose it automatically or not, but it kind of looks like they would. That subsidy was not supposed to be for people or houses that had access to pressurized irrigation. The legislation that Richard is working on is to make sure it's clear, I guess. Is that right, Richard? Am I saying that right?
Right. There's been an interpretation in the past on a couple properties that have allowed it when they have access to pressurized irrigation, and there's also been a couple of instances where we've provided the water to non-city residents at the preferred rate, and also a distinction then between commercial, residential is in there. So it's really cleaning it up more than anything. My opinion today is if you interpret it as the intent was, if pressurized irrigation is available, then they do not get the preferred rate.
Okay. The houses in the old part of CUNA, Martizan, Franklin, they have water available. Are they subsidized with surface water in the old parts of town? I think Elm is another one of those streets.
You know, there's I had the staff do an audit of that precise question that you're asking. And there was a remarkable number of properties, for whatever the reason, and I don't know when it started, that have access to gravity irrigation that are being subsidized, that have commercial properties that don't have access to PI that are being subsidized when it was supposed to be residential. There's just a large number of these. And I'm not sure that the resolution was as clear on the question of gravity irrigation as it was on pressure, but it seems strange to subsidize with cheap drinking water the irrigation of properties that have access to gravity irrigation. So just a number of these things that Richard has identified related to these properties that he's working on this cleanup legislation, which then council will of course be able to look at and see whether they feel the same way.
Well, we've had people tell us in Oasis that they're used to conserving their water, and that if we offer them pressurized irrigation, they're going to turn it down. They don't get a subsidized rate, but they said, I'll keep my water bill for my outside under your $90 for pressurized irrigation and continue to do what I'm doing now. So.
And we didn't propose to change or take away from the folks to be able to do that.
They just felt that they could irrigate their outside and it would be cheaper than the pressurized irrigation rate. But they aren't subsidized. Anyway.
Well, I guess I kind of think that our whole purpose here over the past year has been trying to kind of clean up some of these things that aren't normal or aren't being done right, whether it be sewer or water or irrigation. And, I just think that building this infrastructure is one more way for us to help get this cleaned up and get bills to being common so that everybody's paying the same rate for everything and not having other people subsidizing other people. And
so it's probably timely that you put that into a motion then.
Do we have a resolution number for
this? Is it R11 2013? That's what it was on the original paperwork, but it's not on this new one.
Mr. Mayor, I would move that we adopt resolution number 11-13 to award the bid of the Butler subdivision to the lowest bidder, which was Knife River, and on the street crossing for the pressurized irrigation.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
Motion carried 2-1. Now that concludes our formal meeting. I think we have
executive session.
Do we want to have an executive session?
Yeah, very quickly.
Okay. We'd need then a motion to go into executive session.
Mr. Mayor, I move we adjourn to executive session under Idaho Code 16F.
Thank you all for coming tonight. Appreciate it.
67-2345, parentheses F and C.
We only have that one resolution. You'll have to type up a new one.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. We go into executive session. Would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Hoyland?
Yes.
Councilmember Steer?
Yes.
All right, we will be going into executive session. During the executive session.
Mr. Mayor, we adjourn the executive session and return to regular session.
Second. Been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And now we're back to the regular session and we entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Mayor, we adjourn.
Move and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's a loaded question. There's 4 houses being built in.